Today's Perek in Tanakh is Malachim Beit Perek Yud. And so we are holding in the middle of the horrific sum up of the interrelated destinies of the two Malchut, Malchut Yehuda and Malchut Yisrael, who have now, for all intents and purposes, become a single Malchut, both of which have been given the same bitter end. So that at the moment that the original connections were made between Yehoshaphat and the other families, and we find that Omri was given a daughter, they started intermarrying with each other. We ended up with mothers from Beit Achav that were mothering now children in Beit Yehuda, the result being disastrous. And so we found that we had the bitter, bitter death of Yoram, which is not described here, but which is described in Divrei Hayamim. Here was the son of a tzaddik that ends up dying a horrific, horrific death. And it turns out, as the Medrash tells us, that it was because he destroyed the children of his father, B'nei Me'av, so to speak, those who came issued from the insides of his father. He killed his brothers, so that his own insides opened up, apparently had cancer, and his intestines opened up. And he was so horrifically ill that we viewed Ahaziah as having been a king during his own lifetime, because people couldn't get near him. He was buried not together with the Malachim. Lo b'chemda is the way the pasuk puts it. Anything that he ever dreamt of, that he was chomed, he never got. A wasted life, a disastrous end. And the same now continues on, and we're going to get to the old worse horrors to come of wiping out the house of Yehoshaphat just because of this chibur. Almanat lekarev, the chibur to the house of Omri, and everything that goes on when Atalia ends up murdering all of his grandchildren. I mean, this is just a disaster. One disaster piled on another. Both of these Bate Malchiot are almost destroyed in the same way, so that when Yehu is empowered, he's empowered against the entire structure that has come from Achav, to the point that Yehoshaphat is viewed as a continuation also of Achav, because his children, his grandchildren, are B'nai Achav. And this is a disaster. And so we've only seen the immediate end of the reigning kings now at the hand of Yehu, and the destruction of Izevel. But we haven't seen the complete kiyum of the Nevi'ut of Eliyahu, which is that the entire household of Achav will be wiped out, and there won't be anything left of him, no mashtin bekir, about tzur ve'azuv b'Yisrael. That we haven't seen. But this parak now introduces us into the vicious slaughter that follows, that is able to destroy the entire house of Achav. And remarkably, what it is that's destroyed was the makor, according to the Medrash, of Yehoshaphat's initial willingness to get together with Achav and marry into the family, was the fact, Ula Achav Shivim Banim B'Shomron. He had 70 children in Shomron, and Chazal Medai, he had 70 children only in Shomron, which means that he must have had Shivim Banim somewhere else, or had Shivim Banim in Israel. And we know that he had a life that was partially in Shomron and partially in Israel, that we saw that he had. And each one of them, as B'dayek the Medrash, had indeed two homes. One home in Shomron and one home for the summer. They had a summer home in Israel. They really lived it up. And they were on the top of the world. Yehoshaphat saw, my God, this guy's fathered over 100 children. Such hatzlocha, I should really get into bed with him. Yeah. And both families ended up destroying all of those children. So the first step is he's got these 70 sons in Shomron. Now Yehu has destroyed the Malachim, and he's destroyed Izevel, but he is still outside of the capital city. The army, the main army, is not in Ramot Gilad. What's he going to do now? Is he going to besiege Shomron? How is he going to take over the Malchut back at home? I mean, there's an awful lot of heir apparents in Shomron. Yehu is here exposed as not only a weird maverick, but as a genius. Because he knows the enemy's psychology inside out. He understands exactly how to keep things unclear. Nobody understands his intentions entirely. And this parak describes the way that he's able to continue to fool people in such a way that they cannot predict him. And that's part of his kayak. He's entirely unpredictable. Nobody knows what he's really up to. And even the rebellion initially, you'll notice his first response was, look how he handles the soldiers. He's not doing anything. Ah, come on, but what did he tell you? Nah, he's a crazy guy. But what did he tell you? Ah, he told me I'm king. Yippee! So in other words, he gets everyone first to hope, and then to force him into exposing the fact, yes, there is indeed hope. Then he takes a look and he knows now the Sirisim that are together with Izeva. Dump her. Throw her out the window. Which is itself, it's mad. Whoever heard of throwing somebody out the window? And the whole thing is a crazy guy. And he's now very, very unclear. Nobody knows what he's going to do. So look what he does to turn the people in Shomron to his side.
Does he come from any family?
No.
I'd say
he's been out of left field, and he's been taken by the Navi as the guy who's going to do it. Vayichtov Yehu Sefarim. So here's the madman. He drives like a madman, acts like a madman, does the craziest things in the world. And that's the point. By the way, I knew a businessman like this who was immensely successful because he was an absolute madman. And he used it. Nobody could know what he was really planning because he would speak so outrageously and act so much like a nut that nobody was able to figure out what he really wanted. You could never argue with him because you never knew like where he would be completely crazy. And that was the secret of his success. It was remarkable.
But underneath it had to be
underneath he was a brilliant man. But he was crazy, and he utilized his craziness. And over here, Yehu indeed utilizes his own mishugas. He's a mishugah in the first place. And the guy who talks to him is a mishugah. And they talk as if they're all mishugah. It's a weird parsha. So vayichtov Yehu sefarim, he sends, hey, who's the last person who sent sefarim? Good old Izevel. She sent sefarim from Shomron to Yisrael to make sure that they would knock off Nevot to the Zikanim. Well, what do you think? He sends the sefarim back to the Zikanim too. Vayishlach Shomron el Sarei Yisrael haZikanim ve'ela omnim Achav, and to those who are bringing up the sons of Achav, lemor v'ata, behold, kivo haSefer hazeh lechem. This letter will reach you. Bitchem b'nei Adonaichem, and you, of course, have all of the future in your hands. You're holding the heirs, the sons of Achav. And may I remind you, you have all the power. I have no power. Bitchem harechev asusim v'ir miftzar v'aneshek. I mean, look at you guys. You guys got all the tanks. You guys got all the bullets. And you guys got all the fortified cities. And I have nothing. Now, ureitem hatov v'hayashar. Oh boy, that must have been a shtach. Because, I mean, after all, we're coming back to asserting reality around here, you know? You may remember those words, v'asitem hatov v'hayashar. Oh, if you can find somebody like that, mi b'nei Adonaichem, by all means, make him king. V'samtem al kisei aviv, make him king, v'ilachamu al beit Adonaichem, and it's time to take up arms, gentlemen. I am on my way. So this has so many levels of addressing these Zikanim. First of all, it makes them feel, oh my God, he would never write something like this if he feared us in any way. He obviously has got everybody behind him. Oh my God, this is a disaster. Who writes a letter? And it's also providing the whole moral basis. Nu, atova yashar, you got atova yashar. It's the whole moral basis. It's laughing at them. It's reminding them of the din against the Zikanim that were the ones who participated in the killing of Nevot, which it's now gotten to them, the whole story, that blood was avenged. It's an ingenious little game. And it puts them into the position of they, the rulers of Shomron, must make the decision. I come to await what it is that you will decide. I say nothing to you. It's entirely your choice, which of course, once they choose, they've chosen. And it's an entirely different situation than if they've given in to force and so on. So he doesn't want to even have to use force. Not because he's afraid of using force, but because then he's always got a pile of people that are against him or claiming that he is usurping the kingdom. And what he wants to prove is there's no usurpation. And watch how he does it.
And this is all conscious. He's not.
This guy is a smart guy. Let me tell you. Vayir'u ma'od ma'od. They were terrified when they got that. Vayomru, and they said, good Lord. You're these two rulers. Now, this is a little bit weird because, I mean, they didn't have the army with them. They were caught by surprise. I mean, this is not a very logical statement. There's two kings that couldn't stand in front of him. Ve'ichna amod anachno. How can we stand? He just told you how you could stand. You got the Yirmiftzar, you've got the guns, and you've got the bullets. I mean, you couldn't be more clear about that. So in other words, they're talking in terms of leadership and vision and so on. That's what they're saying. Look, this guy knows what he's doing, he knows what he wants, and nobody around here knows anything. All we know about is how to preserve what is. Well, what is isn't. So now what do we do? So they're terrified. Vayishlach asher al habayit v'asher al ha'ir. So they have the guy now who's in charge of Beit Achav, the guy who is in the mayor of Shomron, the Zekenim, the ones who are raising the children of Achav Ve'Omanim, El Yehu Lemor, sir, please, we are your servants. Avadecha Anachnu, V'chol Asher Tomar Eilenu Na'aseh, we shall do whatever our master suggests. Lo Namlich Ish Hatov Be'Necha, say, we will not choose a man to be king. It's what you say should be done. That is what we shall do. And he sends another letter to them, Lemor. Well, im li atem, if you're really behind me, ulekol li atem shomim, and you want to listen to what I have to say, I say kechut roshei anshei v'nei adonechem, uvo'u elai ke'et machar Yisraela. Then I suggest you bring the heads of the men that are the children of your master. Now, of course, this is multiple interpretation. Bring the heads could mean chop off their heads and bring them in a sack. Or it could mean take the ones that are in charge and come to me tomorrow.
So that I can take the heads.
Well, that's the question. You interpret this as you like. And there's 70 of these sons, and they're all but the greatest of the noblemen of the city of Shomron. As soon as they get the letter, they slaughter them. They kill all 70 men, and they cut off their heads. I mean, these guys are like really reliable backing for Achav. I mean, exactly the type of people that are suited for him. They put the heads into some pots. Yisrael, and they send the heads to him in Yisrael. And so the shliach comes and tells him, they're delivering the heads of the sons of the king. That's nice. Pile them up in two piles on either side of the gates, so that everyone coming into the city sees these 70 heads of the sons of Acha. Vayika boker, and in vaboker, in the morning, vayetse, he goes out. Vayomer el kol ha'am. So he says to everybody, so, tzadikim atem, all of the great tzadikim around here, I know you're all tzadikim, talking about Yehu the murderer, right? I mean, I am the great usurper of the throne. I know there's people around here that are thinking that. Well, I ask you, I have now rebelled. We've created a revolution here against my master. I killed him. Can you tell me who killed all of these people? These are heads that have just been sent from Shomron. I did that too, from here, remote control. Who killed these people? Gentlemen. Let's stop being tzaddik, because that's not the point. The point is that there's a gzera from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And anyone that's been osik in this, first of all, it's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a revolution whose time is up. I didn't do anything. The uefo, it says all on the viut, ki lo yipo midvar Adonai arza. That one word will fall on deaf ears to the ground. Asher diber Adonai al Beit Achav, everything that God spoke about Beit Achav, v'Adonai asat asher diber b'yad avdo Eliyahu. Do you remember what he said? V'yach Yehu. Okay, so it's Yehu was the act, the hand of God, that's all. Et kol ha'nisharim l'Beit Achav v'Yisrael, v'chol gedolav v'miyuda'av v'chohanav. And so Yehu has indeed been the one that has caused wiping out anything that was left, even the people who were his closest confidants. Ad b'liish irlo sarid, leaving nothing. Vayokom, vayavo, vayelech Shomron. And so he gets up now to move into Shomron, not needing to move against Shomron. And he reaches v'hu beit eked haro'im badarach. On the way into Shomron, there is this agricultural center, Beit Ekad is Lashon of Akudim, Son, a place where all the shepherds would get together with Son, outside of the city. And there, so there was an inn there, and there he finds people who knew nothing of what was going on. The Yehu Matzat Achea Chaziyahu Melech Yehuda. And so they, not knowing that he has just murdered their brother, Achaziah from Melech Yehuda, Vayomer Miatem, who are you guys? Oh, we're very important guys, they tell him. We are Achea Chaziyahu Anachnu. We've come down to find out how everybody is. They're back in the shalom business, you know. Vaneired lishlom b'nei ha-melech u'b'nei ha-gvira. Vayomer tifsum chayim. Grab them, but don't kill them. Vayitfasum chayim. They grab them. And then he goes and checks all of them. Vayishchatu me'bor beit eked arba'im u'shnayim ish v'lo yishir ish mehem. And so the two Malchiot, hand in hand, reaching the same bitter end, those that came to find out how the kings are doing, and how B'nai HaGevirah, the children of the great Izebel, her majesty Izebel, for that alone we kill you. Vayelech Misham, and he's on his way to Shomron, and he finds Vayimtzat Yonadav ben Rechav Likrato. Now this is one of the weirdest stories. Yehu has not announced intentions to anybody. You either believe in Yehu and you know him as a human being, or you are completely baffled by the guy. Is he a mass murderer who stops at nothing to obtain his ends, to wipe out all of the opposition? Is he really a tzaddik? Now there's one guy, and that is Yonadav ben Recha. We know the story of Yonadav ben Recha from Yirmiyahu, where ultimately he becomes the dugma, his family. In later years, becomes the dugma of ultimate loyalty. There's no one as loyal as Yonadav ben Rechav in history. What is the story? Yonadav ben Rechav comes from Yitro. So that they are the Kenim, as they're identified in the Devarim Yomim, Sukkotiyim, they are people that have Ruach HaKodesh, they're Tir'atiyim, they're called, they're Yoshvei Shar. They end up being the Gedolei Hador, all of them, Talmidim of the Gedolei Hador. He began now learning with Otniel ben Knaz. That family of the Bnei Rechav is the ultimate family of Gerim. So they come now from Yitro himself, the Bnei Akeni. They follow now in future generations, which seems to come from this moment. Yonadav ben Rechav at this point is part of society. After this, he's no longer part of society. What he does is he goes out, lives outside a nomadic life, going back to the original approaches of Midian, where they came from, commands all of his children, and this great Asifa and grandchildren, all of you, if we're entering into this Brit, and they use the Lashon Nishma v'Naaseh, just like Naaseh v'Nishma, and he therefore is brought, his grandchildren, generations later, are brought into the Beit HaMikdash as a sign to Bnei Yisrael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what loyalty means when you say Naaseh v'Nishma. Not like you guys. And they try to give them a drink of wine. They all will not accept, no matter what you're going to do to them. Because that was one of the things he told them. No more interest in this world. Society is filthy. All that comes out of it is more filth. There's no hope. There's going to be a Churban Beit HaMikdash. At that point, everyone will learn that you don't build your fancy homes and your batei shein like Akav. And you end up, I want you to live nomadic lives, no homes, no planting. You move from place to place. You go out to the midbar. Badad Yeshev, society is a failure. And they all accept this on themselves.
Commune people.
Yeah. Well, no, it's less than commune. Commune invests in a particular place. He believes there's no solution for society until it's completely wiped out and you start over again. So he's a very, very serious, committed man.
Has
said that.
Yes, the Rambam says, exactly. Go out to the dead. That's exactly what he did. And so he was one man that Yehu felt had the insight to be able to give the moral backing, ultimately, for what he was doing. And yet he wouldn't. This is an amazing puzzle. He comes now and he finds Yonadab ben Rechav, who's going out to meet Yehu. Vayavarcheu, vayomer elav, he says to him, Hayesh et levavecha yashar, kasher levavi im levavecha. This is an amazing statement. He doesn't say one word about what his plans are. He says, look, I know you. I, Yehu, know you, Yonadab. And I know your heart, and I feel you from the inside. My heart is with your heart.
It's not a question.
Do you have, it is a question, do you have the same feeling in your heart to recognize who I am? Because I'm not going to discuss it with you. It's a yes or no. Vayomer Yonadab, v'yesh v'yesh. Absolutely. Tzinat yadecha, give me a hand. He gives him his hand and pulls Yonadab ben Rechav into the Merkava with him. Never do we find such an instantaneous meeting of the hearts. We find instantaneous love, but an instantaneous meeting of the hearts like this, where he is in the middle of putting on an act which nobody knows what he is. The only one who can know what he is a man who can feel his heart directly. And that's Yonadab ben Rechav. Which means, by the way, that at this moment, indeed, as the Gemara says, he's a complete tzaddik. He's tzaddik a rabbi. He's an immense tzaddik, despite all of the things that he puts on. Vayomer, okay, now you're with me. L'chayti or ebekinati ladunai. You are going to watch me. Be mekaneh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With all the kina that Eliyahu HaNavi would have loved to have and wasn't allowed to express. Watch this. Vayavor shamron. I'm sorry. Vayakivu oto berichbo, and so he takes him now on his ongoing journey. Vayavo Shomron, he comes into Shomron, and as he comes in, Vayakit kolanisharim lachav b'Shomron adish mido. He finds out the name, address of everybody who's been close with Achav. Murders everyone. Kidvar neyash diber Eliyahu, exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said would happen. And then Vayikbots Yehu et kol ha'am, he collects the entire people. Vayomer aleihem. You know why all of this has happened, don't you? It's because Achav avad et ha'baal me'at. Achav wasn't really loyal to the Baal. He was just being talked into it by Yizevel. I'll show you how we worship the Baal. Yehu yavdenu harbeh. We are going to really worship the Baal. V'ata kol nevi'ei ha'baal, kol ovdav v'chol kohanav. And now anyone, whoever was behind the Baal, all of the prophets, all of his worshippers, all of his priests, I want all of them here. Keiru Eli, Ish Al Yipaked. There better not be anybody missing. Kizevah Gadoli Labal. We are making a holiday for the Baal. Let me tell you, there ain't never been a holiday like that. Kol Asher Yipaked Lo Yechi. Anybody who doesn't show up for this holiday is dead. V'yehu Asah Ba'okba Leman Ha'avidat Ovdei Habal. All of this was a trick in order to identify all the Ovdei Habal and get rid of them.
Put them behind the eight pile.
Yomer Yehu. Then Yehu said to them.
Why is that
what?
Why is that said that this was a trick?
We'll see. Vayomer Yehu kaddishu atzara lebaal. Vayikra'u. Make this a holiday and announce it. And they do. Vayashlach Yehu b'chol Yisrael. He sends messengers all over the entire country. Vayavo kol of the Baal. All of the worshippers of the Baal arrive. And after all, they were in danger of being killed if they don't show up. They come to Beit HaBaal and fill up the Beit HaBaal pelape, which is, of course, the source now of the modern word meltacha, which is the, what do they say in English?
The
check-in room, yeah. The check-in room, where they keep your clothing. So now, in order to make sure that people were not tricked into coming because they were afraid that he would not approve of them if they didn't show up, he wanted to make sure that only people who had checked clothing in the Meltacha, who had been there before in the Beit HaBaal, who had a locker in the Beit HaBaal, so he tells the guy that's in charge of the lockers, Otse Levush Lekol Ovdei HaBaal, bring out clothing for all of the people that have checked their clothes here. That way, there's two things. First of all, he makes sure he doesn't get the wrong people. Plus, if anybody tries to escape, they might as well have a neon sign on them because they're dressed for Baal worship. Vayotzelehem ha-malbush, they take out the particular malbush for the Baal. Vayavo Yehu v'Yonadav ben Rechav beit ha-Baal. And now Yehu, together with Yonadav and ben Rechav, come into the beit ha-Baal. Vayomer lo v'dei ha-Baal. He tells the worshippers of the Baal, look, we don't want any of those spies who may still have loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. Those guys will ruin the entire holiday. Chipsu ra'u, go through every man here. Pen yesh po imachem mi'avdei Adonai. We don't want any of those idiots here. Kim of the Baal of Adam, only purebred Baal worshippers are allowed into this holiday. Okay, they get rid of anybody that is maybe loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayavol ha-sodz v'achim v'olot, they come to bring the sacrifices. Now, he needs to see them actually being zover, so shor b'chayev. Right? There's no question that they're just, they have the intention. They should be caught with their pants down.
Red-handed.
The Yehu Samlo Bachut Shmonim Ish. Now, meanwhile, Yehu has put 80 people around the doors. Vayomer, and he tells them, anybody who gets away, the guy who lets them get away, is dead. Aish Asher Yimalet Min Anashim, Asher Ani Mevi Al Yedeichem, Nafsho Tachat Nafsho. You're all personally responsible for each and every one of these clowns. Vayi Kechalotol La'asot Ha'ola, and so when they finish bringing the Korban Ola, Vayomer Yehu L'Ratzim V'L'Shalishim, Bo Hakum, you go in there and murder every last one of them. Take your machine guns. Ish al yetzei, nobody is to get out alive. Vayakum lefichareh, they kill every last one. Vayashlichu aratzim vashalishim, they throw their bodies to the windows. Vayachu ad ir beit habaal, and they continue doing this. They get to the city of beit habaal, basically destroying the entire place. Vayotziu et matzevot beit habaal, they bring out all of the things that were in the Beit HaBaal, burn the whole place down to the ground. Vayisrafu, vayitzu et matzevat HaBaal, and they tear apart the mizbeach that they had, the matzeva. They rip apart the stones of the Beit HaBaal, vayitzu et Beit HaBaal. And of course, what do they turn it into? As we pointed out in the Gemara, an outhouse. Vayasimu lemotzaot, of course, the lashon of the pasuk is much more vile. The Pasuk uses Limbochoraot, which is basically a shit house, but we don't pronounce it that way. So this, the Gemara says wherever there is unclean language, we pronounce it differently. So we call it Limotzaot, an excrement house. Thank you very much. But it's the same idea. Ad Hayom, and that is the ultimate end of Avodah Zarah. That's the whole idea of Pa'or, and the way in which the Gemara says you're not allowed to say that word unless it's referring to Avodah Zarah. Right? You take your Avodah Zarah, stick it up, is what the Gemara uses as an example. Your Shin Tov. So that is that's the one word. It's all about excrement. It's the relationship to the Avodah Zarah.
That wasn't the way the Baal was worshipped?
No, that's the Pa'or. Yeah. But
cool
it's central to Avodah Zarah. What's that?
Yes.
And doing this Ad Hayom till this very day. Vayashmed Yehu et Abal mi Yisrael. And in this way, he completely destroyed the Baal. That was it. Baal never made it back again. However, Rak Chata'ei Yeravam Benevat, Sherechati et Yisrael lo sar Yehu mi'akrayem. He was not complete. And in the Chata'ei Yeravam, which he had no reason to fear, really, because here he had all on behind him. What was he afraid of? I mean, it was all a trick for Yeravam, that people shouldn't be drawn to Beit Yehuda. They're already over this whole issue. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, Vayomer Adonai al Yehu, God told Yehu. Some learn that this is the juxtaposition here, that the reason that he was completely chayef for remaining with the Egle Azab is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yehu, what do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yehu? Yehu was a prophet? So here too, we have Yonah. Yonah ben Amittai, and we find that Yonah ben Amittai accompanies Beit Yehu four generations in the same way that Eliyahu, and Yonah ben Amittai of course exists because of Eliyahu, the same way that Eliyahu accompanied the house of Ahav. And so Yana Sheretivoto, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, because you did what was right, Lasot HaYashar Beinai, you did these wonderful murders, which I so much wanted. K'chol asher bilavavi, all that was in my heart, asita l'Beit Achav. You did for the Beit Achav, and I approve of you. B'nei Revi'im yeshvu lecha al kisei Yisrael. Four generations Achav ruled. Four generations. K'neged the tikkun of Beit Achav and the ripping out of the Baal, you too will have four generations. However, v'yehu lo shamar l'lechet b'torat Adonai Elohei Yisrael b'chol levavo. He did not follow now the tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of his heart. Lo sar me'al chatoti ravam asher achati et Yisrael, and did not turn aside from what Yeravam had done. These agalot, which were machti as Yisrael, and the Gemara says that indeed he was one of those that was fooled by the signature of Achia HaShiloni. You remember that Yeravam got even Achia HaShiloni together with Rosh Sanhedrin to back everything that he was doing, afilu la'avod avodah zarah, as part of the tikkun. I want your complete backing, because we got to rip out this insanity from Klal Yisrael. And they signed. And the problem is, signing on with these people, you never know where it's going to lead you. This is exactly what happens to Yonadab ben Rechab. This is the last time that we see Yonadab ben Rechab involved in society. Last time that he gets involved in a belief in Tikkun HaOlam. You know, you're going to go together with Yehu, watch me fix the world. Yeah. Until Yehu himself now goes sour. So, I mean, this is the level of his going sour and not uprooting the Yeravam. He's fooled with Achia HaShiloni. The signature, says the Gemara, which we're going to be having later here in Sanhedrin. And so, because of that, we find indeed that the Navi later blames Yehu for the Mei Yisrael and says to him, we're going to pay you back for all the blood that you spilled in Yisrael. Because as we saw back by the story of Baasha, you can do what the Navi says, but only if you are pure. The moment that you are exposed as having something wrong in your own heart, ex post facto, everything can be now thrown on your head. You want to do these kind of mass murders because you're a Mekane. Let's make sure that there's nothing in you that can also be in this kind of thing. But if you can in any way be associated with it, that's not Kina, that's Kina. And therefore, you too will be taken to task for what it is that you did. Unbelievable. Therefore, even though, as David asked earlier, even though the Torah itself says, V'yehu asaba okba, that indeed there wasn't one bit of truth in what it was that Yehu said. Nonetheless, says the Gemara, how did he come to such a thing? Because he used those words. Yehu yavenu harbe, Berit kruta l'svatayim. You cannot say words like that. You make a statement like that and it has an impact on your soul. Yehu will worship the Baal. Oh God, even Ba'okba, even to persuade, even to achieve these kind of ends, you can't say words like that. And in having said those words, he opened himself up to the Chatoim of Avodah Zarah, and because of that turned out to be horrifically held responsible for what it was. There's no quarter given here, Mitzad Adin. You want to be the hand of God? This is what he says to the one man who knows the hand of God. Watch me pull a kina out of my hat. Unfortunately, we watch him. And indeed, as the Medrash says, this is the power corrupts. He started off as a total tzaddik, is using all of this only for the right purposes, but this is what happens. Hoel shenichnas, he was bali de geula, gedula, and nichnas lamalchus, immediately kilkel ma'asav. That's what the Tanit of Eliyahu itself says. So this is what destroyed him. And because of that, by Amim Ahim, this draws us right back to the original shlichut of Eliyahu. That Eliyahu told Elisha, this is what you got to do. Make Hazael king and make Yehu king. Those two things end up being fundamentally interrelated. Yehu is the one to destroy Achav. Hazael is the one to destroy Yehu, essentially. And what this means is that on the one hand, you're appointing Yehu to try to get people to do teshuva and to be okay the Baal. But on the other hand, you're being gezer, the end, in terms of the Malchus of Aram, of Yisrael. Caught between these two things, it's possible for Yisrael to do teshuva. In other words, there has to be a vision of teshuva, which indeed Yehu creates, a vision of teshuva. But there also has to be the pressure in bringing people to the bitter end in order to be able to rebuild. Both of them are created, the way the Seder Olam Rabbah puts it, created boto ayom. even though it may not mean literally Boto Ayom, because Elisha first is in Damascus, and then he goes to Yehu, and obviously Hazael was already involved in killing before Yehu even got up there. But essentially, Yehu is the vision which Hazael is the one to bring to fruition, unfortunately. And therefore, by Yamim Ahem, Hechel Adonai Lekatzot B'Yisrael. And Lekatzot has a horrible double meaning. Lekatzot means to be nauseated by. Katzti B'chayai, I can't take them anymore. And this is the end of Zechut Avot, and so on, as the Gemara says. The other meaning of katzot is v'katzota et kapa, cut off her hand, which is the midas hadin. It's the lashon also of katz, which means kates, to cut off from the edges, the tips. And so gradually the country was being whittled away, is the way we would say it. So that Hazael begins to take away territory. And this is horrible. All the beautiful words that were the vision to Moshe Rabbeinu of the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, the final actual kibush that we were zeicha to. Min ha-yardein mizrach ha-shemesh, it called Eretz ha-gilad. Mamish, those words that you read in the closing of the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu sees, the beauty, Eretz ha-gilad, ha-gadi, va-ruveni, Vamanashi, everything taken away. Mi aroer asher al nachal Arnon, which was the beginning of the kibush. Vagilad, Vabashan, everything goes. And of course, these are the words of Hazael himself, as found, written by him in Tel Dan, in which Imamish mentions these places. He says that I killed Yeravam and Yehoram, and I killed now Achav, and I put the land into desolation. What are the names of the places, Barnea, that he mentions? There's like all kinds of...
He mentions Yehoram.
You have the Girsa, because I can barely read. Okay, but he mentions there the fact that he took away their cities, I set their towns into ruins, turned their land into desolation, he writes. And so this story... Yeah. So these towns, from his point of view, he went out, and this is what Elisha started to burst out into tears. I know what you're going to do. It's not just going to be that you capture the territory. You're going to murder. You're going to pillage. You're going to rape. You're going to cut open the pregnant women. Which is what you think, I'm a dog? Not today, maybe. But tomorrow, when you become king. And so this was the bitter end then. V'yeter, divrei Yehu. V'chol asher asah, v'chol gevurato. And he accomplished amazing things. Elohim kituvim al sefer divrei hayamim lemalchei Yisrael. Vayishkav Yehu im avotav, vayikbru oto b'shomron, vayimloch Yehoahaz b'no tachtav. And so the second generation of Beit Yehu, Yehoahaz, becomes now the king. Vayamim asher malach Yehu Yisrael esrim v'shmone shana. And so for 28 years, this is solid malchut in those days, 28 years, Yehu, the original Shigaon, became king and achieved things in Shomron.